This is VSiN Prime Time, live from the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It is prime time here on VSiN Wednesday Edition. Matt Brown and Mike Somich. Appreciate you guys being with us. Sirius Channel 158, YouTube TV, VSiN Watch app, and terrestrial stations across this great country of ours. ESPN comes through with a thing here, Mike, as we're on break. With LeBron out tonight versus San Antonio, if he misses one more game this season, which he will, it will make him ineligible for postseason awards given the minimum game play list, minimum games played criteria that we have there. So he has a 21-season streak of being All-NBA. And, of course, that will come to an end this year because he will, in fact, miss one more game this year.
Yeah, I'll take the over. Take the over on him missing one more game, Matt. It's a bummer. I mean, it's one of those things where, you know, father time always wins. As LeBron gets older and older, you knew eventually this was going to happen. But heck of a streak there, 21 years in a row.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, listen, I kind of get it from the games played minimum thing too, because voters get in a pattern and get in a rhythm, and like they just going to vote for the same people every single year, even if they only played a handful of games, and maybe it leaves off someone who was kind of deserving and all that. So, you know, I kind of get it. It's just, like you said, it's just a bummer.
Well, availability is a stat, Matt.
Yeah.
Like if you're out there for 70 of your team's games versus 55, it absolutely matters that you played 70 versus 55, especially in an 82-game season. And so I don't mind it at all. I think it makes sense. I think it also discourages teams to have as many rest days as we were seeing. And so it kind of sets up a situation where it values availability, which is one of the most important things in sports. If you're not out there, you can't really contribute.
Yes, no, absolutely fair. It's I saw some people who were kind of, you know, upset about it all. And I'm like, you know, I get it. It's a little bit of a bummer, but at the same time, you honestly have to be able to understand that there are dudes who just, if they saw LeBron LeBron only played 25 games this year, whatever, 27 games this year, they would see LeBron's name and he has this streak and they would still vote for him because, well, I don't want to break the streak for LeBron and whatever. And it's like, well, nah, dude, use your brain.
Well, here's the thing. He's going to miss this number by 8 to 10 games, not by one. Okay, so it's not even like it's going to be that close, or it's going to be arguable that, oh, well, you know, that she should get credit because he's only one game off. No, he's going to miss by 8 to 10 games. And in my mind, you have to have a line somewhere. Don't cross the line, right? If he wants to be it, then don't miss another game. Mm-hmm. That's not going to happen. So, sorry.
Yes, that is definitely, we know that. That is not going to happen for sure. All right. We got some finals over in the NBA. Raptors over the Hornets, 97-96. Raptors moved to 23-15 on the season. Hornets fall to 13-24. The Pistons take care of the Bulls, 108-93. Pistons 28-9 on the season, 15-3 at home, 17-20 there for the Bulls. The 76ers 131-110 over the Wizards, but hey, Wizards got reinforcements coming, so don't sleep on the Wizards, as we know that Trae Young will be heading to town. Embiid goes 28-7 in that one. The Nuggets 114-110 over the Celtics. Murray 22-8 and 17 assists for Jamal Murray there in that one.
A
so a monster assist game for him there. Hawks 117-110 over the Pelicans, and the Knicks 123-111 over the Clippers. Brunson 26-7 there in that one. We're currently in overtime between the Magic and Nets. 7:45 left in the fourth quarter between the Suns and Grizzlies. 101-79 Suns. So they have a comfortable lead there over the Grizzlies. Fourth quarter, Jazz and Thunder. This is a 96-95 game with the Thunder. Yes, this Thunder team, Mike, that everyone's talking about, they're only going to lose one game all year. They're only two games all year. Here they're struggling with the Jazz in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, they've already lost three to the Spurs this year. Some people said they weren't going to lose three all season. So they've officially hit the skids here. It's hard over 82 games to be as consistent as they were right out of the gate. Interesting about that Nuggets and Celtics game. The Celtics has gotten high as number two in the East out there. Nuggets played without Jokic. Payton had 30 for the Nuggets there. So no Jokic in that game, still able to get the win over the Boston Celtics.
And we just got going Spurs and the Lakers, about 3 minutes left there in the first quarter. As we said, LeBron sitting this one out. It is currently 18-14 in favor of the Spurs early on in the first quarter there in that one. So move on through all of the work and digging in and trying to figure out what these teams were all about in the big picture. Well, what do we think about these games that are going to be happening? This is where we now put all the information in a head-to-head basis, and the Rams will kick things off on the road against the Carolina Panthers. They are 10.5-point favorites over Carolina. 46.5 is our prevailing total. Mike, the 10.5 has been bought up at Circa, so there is no longer a hook on the 10.5 here that has been bought up at Fanatics as well. So we are looking at the flat 10 at those two books. And so people kind of looked at this, and I guess they just said, you know, it's double digits. It's still the NFL. It's a road game for the Rams. I just can't get there.
Yeah, I kind of agree with that that sentiment as well. Mm-hmm. We saw this open at 10 or at 9.5, 10, and it got bet up to 10.5 pretty quickly. Then we saw some Panthers money come in. Now we're sitting back at that number. This is a tough one for me because it's Panthers or pass. I can't get to 10. I can't get to 10.5 for sure. I can't get to 10, let alone 10.5. And I don't like betting underdogs I don't think can win. I don't want to try and just capitalize on the points. To me, that's a very difficult thing to do. And I don't think the Panthers can win this football game. So it's hard for me to want to get the 10 in the account. But it's never Rams in this spot. I mean, we're like 2 points off where I think this line should actually be. It's one of those situations where if we get to Saturday and we get to the 10.5 number, I probably put a small Panthers bet in. But it's not one I want to run to the window with because I don't fully trust this Panthers team. But it's never Rams at double digits.
It's an interesting deal because let's talk about the tails of this game, right? Which is the Rams could win this game if they play their best offensive game. By the way, get Davante Adams back as well. They could win this game by 20 points. I honestly believe, and I can say that with confidence, like they can win this game by 20 points if, I'm not going to say if they want to, but kind of like if they want to. If they want to keep their foot on the gas, I think they can win this game by 20 points. But the thing is like that's the interesting thing once we get to the playoffs, Mike, which is almost a miniature handicap of kind of what we get with week 18 sometimes as far as motivation goes. You're the Rams. You want to win the Super Bowl. Winning by 27 doesn't mean anything. Winning by 7 or 27 doesn't advance, move on, try to go in the Super Bowl. And so that's why these like a double-digit spread in the playoffs, one, it's so rare because normally these teams shouldn't have this big of a gap in the first place. But, you know, we don't have a ton of sample size for a road team, you know, being a double digit favorite in the playoffs. I mean, what's the motivation for McVay for keeping, you know, a 37-year-old Matthew Stafford out there, a Davante Adams that's going to be coming back off a hamstring injury, a Puka Nacua who's taking a bunch of big shots over the course of the season? Like, there isn't any. There's none. There's actually negative motivation for him keeping them out there.
Yeah, there is. And I look to the first game where, yes, the Panthers were fortunate. They got 3 turnovers. They had a pick 6 in that game. That's what really allowed them to keep it close. But you look at the underlying numbers, the yards, total yardage in that game, 379 to 358. Rushing specifically, the Panthers ran for 164 yards. If the Panthers can have success on the ground, it's hard to foresee a world where this is a 20-point Rams victory, right? If they're able to run for 150-plus, it makes it a lot easier for them to try and stay in this football game. And the difference between that, well, the last game we saw these two play, it was long Panthers drives. They had a drive in the third quarter, which almost took up the entire thing and were able to get into the end zone. And that's what they need to do in this game, right? They need to have those 10-play, 70-plus-yard drives, which they had to come out of the half. And then they got the ball back after 3 and out and had a 12-play drive that took 8 minutes and 24 seconds off the clock. If the Panthers can shorten this game, 10 is way too much. And I think a lot of it comes down to, will the Rams defense be able to stop the Panthers run? Because if the answer is yes, Rams minus 10. If the answer is no, this is a game that the Panthers can keep within double digits.
There's I've heard a lot of people talking about like how many points the Rams defense has given up or whatever, and like, you know, citing some of these games, like, Okay, you go back to the Falcons game, right? Like, there was a pick six, so that's not on the defense. There was a 93-yard Bijan Robinson run. Again, yes, that's against the defense, but that's like one of those, okay, freak plays.
You don't
see 93-yard runs and whatever. So, I mean, yeah, I get what you're saying, but then the rest of the scoring, 56-yard field goal, a 51-yard field goal, like there, it's not necessarily like there's more to it than the box score, right? Like when you look at these, when you look at some of these games, the Cardinals game where it's like, yeah, they messed around a little bit with all of that, but it's like we talked about. The motivation was nothing more than seeding in that game. And then when they really decided to kind of put the foot on the gas, they did that and then shut the Cardinals out in the fourth quarter and they didn't score.
Right.
So, you know, I don't know, man. I think there's some stuff being made of something that's not really there with the Rams defense.
I mean, I get it, but this should be seven and a half, eight. Mm-hmm. Like you still can't get to 10. Like that's the thing. Like even if you had like power ratings wise, let's say I had the Rams at a seven, right? And you give the Panthers a point and a half for home field. Like you're still saying the Panthers are a minus four team to get to this number. Like that's a little egregious. Like that just seems a little bit too big for me. I can't get the 10 and a half. That's why I'll probably end up betting the Panthers and then drinking heavily during the game.
I was gonna say,
not gonna like how it goes.
I was gonna say, like, just you're gonna be like, pray, you're gonna get the fourth quarter and be like, pull him, what are you doing, get him on the sideline, let's go. What are you doing?
Don't even watch the first half.
There's absolutely no need for him to be in the game right now. All right, Packers and Bears, when we come back, this is an interesting handicap. What side do we land on?
You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. VSiN Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with VSiN Pro.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It is Primetime here on VSiN. Matt Brown, Mike Somich. Check in over on the college basketball scoreboard. Iowa State took down Baylor by 10. Iowa State moves to 15-0 on the season. UConn gets it done in overtime over Providence, 103-98. They move to 15-1 on the season. We're at the half. Alabama and Vanderbilt all tied at 43 there, Mike Somich.
Woo. A little bit of a shootout there. That game closed at 176.5 as the total. Monster total there in college. Already put up 86 here in the first half. Still under the pace.
5 minutes left. Purdue hosting Washington. They're up 71-58. We're at the half. Arizona and Kansas State. Arizona 51-36 there. We got BYU 59-37 over Arizona State. We're early in the second half in that one. Arkansas 52-44 over Ole Miss. Currently about 15 minutes left in the second half there. At the half, Virginia hosting California, hosting Cal 43-33 in that one. And right now in the second half, the 24-ranked SMU Mustangs are down 38-32 to Clemson. Still plenty of time to play there. 18-14 left in the second half. All right, Mike Somich, we get to one of the more interesting handicaps of the week, and that is Green Bay and Chicago. We have seen this thing flip favorites, again, insignificant, but still, through the zero, from one and a half, over to one and a half, in favor of Green Bay now on the road at Chicago. 45.5 is our prevailing total there in this one. We are at a very interesting kind of crossroads here with this Green Bay team. It is, who are they? What is their identity? Jordan Love's going to be back under quarterback. We hadn't seen him in a couple of weeks. Mike, there's just so many question marks around Green Bay, yet they are taking money here in this one.
Yeah, they are. And this is it's a tough one for me because I bet Green Bay when they were in Chicago last time. They ended up losing that game in overtime, 22-16. That was a game where Jordan Love missed the majority of it. Malik Willis came in, played well in response, or played well backing up Jordan Love there. The Bears needed a field goal, onside kick, touchdown toward the end of the game to be able to even force the overtime. I lean toward the Bears here, Matt. And it's a very, 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 very small lean for me. It's not one where I want to like pound the table and bet the Bears. I do think that this Packers team is just too banged up on the defensive side for me to get overly excited about what they can do there. And offensively, we don't know what version of Love we're going to get. We are going to get Tom back on the offensive line, but we don't know if he's going to be able to play the full game. Jacobs coming back off of injury. It just feels like all of these bumps and bruises have added up to too much for the Packers to try and overcome. I do think the Bears able to run the football successfully against the Green Bay Packers. I lean toward the Bears, not a bet I'm like racing to get into my account, because I do think these are two very evenly matched teams.
Yeah, I guess the question for me is, what is the plan of attack for this Bears team? Because, Mike, you know, listen, I respect Ben Johnson. Obviously, the coaching job that he did there is great to turn this team around. But there's been, I think he almost is getting a little too offensive coordinator-y in some of these games, where it's like some games are super, super run heavy and some games are super, super pass heavy. And it's like he's kind of looking at the deficiencies of the other team and almost going overboard on it. And I just wonder if they could come out and just be a little bit more balanced of a team, would this offense maybe function a little bit better? Maybe not ask so much or ignore Caleb Williams at the beginning of these games, where you run it 7 of the first 10 plays or throw it 7 of the first 10 plays and all of that. Like I just do wonder what this Bears team would look like if they just came out and kind of just ran a normal offense.
Yeah, I would love to see like a 55% pass rate, yeah. Right? Just like a little bit above 50%, but you're still mixing in the run game there. You've got two running backs who have different skill sets in Swift and Menungai. I do think that this is more of the run-heavy game plan that you're going to see from Ben Johnson. This is a Green Bay team that A, doesn't rush the passer well, but B, doesn't stop the run very well. And I think you're going to see the Bears try and lean in on some of these exotic runs to be able to try and get the ball rolling at home there. I would like to see more like sprinkled in play action passes if you are going to go with that run-heavy set. Try and throw, you know, let's say you run 7 of the first 10 plays. Give me 7 play actions on the next 10 plays, right? Give me like, just show it and then take it away and see if you can get the offense to execute that way. Sounds like we may not have Rome Odunze in this game, which is a little bit of a surprise. He was projected to come back this week. Now it's more up in the air, so we'll have to keep an eye on that injury as well. But it all comes back to just the fact that like the Packers are banged up, man. And I can't get over all of these little injuries that the Packers have in a game that I think the margin is going to be razor thin. That kind of pushes me back toward the Bears.
Yeah, it's the other side of this too, I guess, is you mentioned that the health of the receivers over on the Bears side of things, but what are we going to get from the Packers as well, right? I mean, like that team has been fairly banged up. Josh Jacobs been banged up. Now, if you listen to his quote today, did you see this? It's the best I've felt in 6 years. 6 years. I'm like, come on, man. Like, just say I feel good. Buddy. Just say I feel good. Like, don't be like, it's the best I've felt in 6 years. Like, now I'm literally just want to be like, okay, I mean, seriously, come on, really?
Now I don't believe you.
Yeah, it's like, now I don't believe anything you have to say. But I will say this. When he's been there and he's been healthy, the offense, we live in a running backs don't matter era. I get it. Like, people want to do that. But when he has been there and been healthy, this offense has looked exponentially better.
Yeah, Josh Jacobs is a huge part of this offense, right? He and Tom, if Jacobs and Zach Tom are both in the game, this offense moves the football much more efficiently because of the ground attack that they can kind of put in line there with the fact that Jordan Love can push the ball downfield. But it's I don't know how healthy he's going to be. And I don't like it when someone says, this is the healthiest I've been in 6 years. That's a lie. We know we're lying. We just don't know what level you are lying about your health at this point. And then again, Zach Tom, really important offensive lineman. He's been banged up for weeks. We'll see at what level he's able to go at. That does give the Packers the idea that they can be multifaceted in their offense. They can be able to run the football and throw the football. It's just, this is one of those games, Matt, where like, again, if you came in and you said, I love the Packers, I wouldn't call you crazy. You said you love the Bears. I wouldn't call you crazy. This is one of those where I think it is going to be a very, very close football game. I think there's going to be some wonky stuff that happens. And it's not one that I want to have a large wager on.
If I believe Jacobs, if I want to believe Jacobs, his numbers at 70.
You don't believe Jacobs.
His numbers at 73 and a half in this game. I think they're best. I think their best offense should run through him. I think that this Bears rush defense certainly leaves a lot to be desired. And I do think that Josh Jacobs, if given the opportunity, now, are they going to give this dude that's been banged up and nicked up and all of that, are they going to give him 20 carries? I don't know. But if we get 20 carries, Mike, I know it's a high-ish number at 73 and a half, but it's the playoffs, right? So we start to lean into the stuff that gets us there.
Yeah, and the weather kind of pans out for the fact that you're going to want to run the football. We're looking at 15-mile-per-hour sustained winds, 30 to 35-mile-per-hour gusts. There's snow in the forecast. All of that leans into more of the run game here. Temperature is supposed to be kind of low 30s, so it's not going to be one of those cold games, but you are going to have sustained winds. If that's the case, like, yes, the run game makes a lot of sense. It's another reason why I think Ben Johnson more leans with the run here with the Bears. So I don't mind looking at the Jacobs over there. I don't mind looking at the Swift over either. If you want to go on the Bears side, I think Swift gets the majority of the carries for the Bears. It seems like Ben Johnson still prefers him running the football, and he's more likely to have an explosive play in the run game than Mnungi as well. Swift right now at 61 and a half. So I don't mind Swift if you want to lean into the run game being effective here for either of these teams.
I'm glad you brought that up. Should have some weather concerns in Carolina, should have some weather concerns in Chicago, and we'll be keeping an eye on Philadelphia as well. Over in Carolina, looking like there's a decent shot of rain, looking like there's kind of 15-mile-an-hour sustained winds with gusts up to 20. Now, it's kind of right on the borderline of the wind that we really start to care about, so something for us to keep an eye on. This is only Wednesday. Certainly could get better or worse between now and kickoff. And then in Chicago, as Mike mentioned, probably snow. I mean, if not, it's just going to be super, super cold rain, which is probably worse than stuff that we want to deal with. 15 sustained, gusts up to like 25-ish, could get up to 30 depending on how this all goes. It is Chicago. We know how windy Chicago can be. So one of those deals where we got to keep an eye on both of those Saturday games from a weather standpoint. Only Wednesday, but this is what we do as good handicappers, is keep our eye on things that can affect how this goes, not only from a total standpoint, but from a game planning standpoint as well. So be sure, and we'll keep you updated on all of that here at VSiN. Guys, if you are not already a VSiN Pro subscriber, this is the time to go in, give us a shot. You can get started today for as little as $9.99 intro offer there for the first month. And if you want to, you can take advantage of a 50% off annual plan as well. That's going on right now at VSiN.com/subscribe. You get those betting guides that we put out whenever you are a VSiN Pro subscriber, that every single tentpole thing that happens in the sports betting world, we go in, write it up, give you all the bets from all the hosts and guests and stuff. Certainly something you want to take advantage of. The betting splits, we got the AI-powered prop tools. And, of course, you get the picks breaking down everything going on in the sports world each and every day over there on VSiN.com. VSiN.com/subscribe.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Primetime here on VSiN, Matt Brown and Mike Somich, as we have been going through deep dive into the playoffs here. Maybe one of the more interesting playoffs that I can remember, Mike. I don't think that any team is incredibly dominant. Obviously, I like the Rams the best, but certainly we can just look at their last month and a half, and if you want to, try to nitpick and all things about them. And then past that, certainly a bunch of teams, as we went through, when we went through the offenses, went through the defenses, went through the different stuff like that, that it would not surprise me if you and I are sitting here on Super Bowl Sunday and we're previewing the game and we're going, well, isn't this interesting? Isn't this interesting these two teams are in this thing? Like, I don't think my jaw is going to drop.
Yeah, I could go 10 deep of the 14 playoff teams with teams that wouldn't shock me to make the Super Bowl. And that just shows you how wide open this overall playoff race is. We talked about the AFC. It feels like five different teams in the AFC could get out. I wouldn't be shocked if one of five different teams got out in the NFC. I expect it to be one of three, but it could be one of five in the NFC as well. It just shows that, like, A, when I look through my power ratings, so we're talking a lot of power ratings today. When I look through my power ratings, I went back through the full season. This is the lowest I've had the highest rated team in the last 7 years. So it shows you there's been no tier 1A dominant football team. It is also the lowest gap, like the depth of the width between these teams is incredibly shallow as well. We're not seeing big margins between them. And that's why we see, you know, yeah, we have the 10-point spread with the Rams and the Panthers. But you look at the other games, we got 2 at 1.5. We've got 2 sitting at 3 and 1 at 4.5, all relatively closely contested games. And if you look at like the Bills, who have the best quarterback and were considered the best team heading into the season of the teams that made it in the AFC, they're going to not be more than a 3-point favorite or dog either way in any game until the Super Bowl if they're able to make it there. I mean, it just shows you how closely fought this season has been.
Where do you fall on the whole experience scale? Obviously, you look at Carolina, no experience for Bryce Young at all. Caleb Williams, obviously no experience there in Chicago. We can keep going down the list with some of these other ones that, you know, of course, Drake May, it's only so here, so he doesn't have an experience either. Is that something? And then you get to Aaron Rodgers, right, with tons and tons of experience. Does it matter to you at all?
Yes, but not heavily. I think a lot of the quarterbacks who play now at younger ages are more prepared for these moments than what we saw in the past when we had rookie quarterbacks coming in. A lot of the quarterbacks that we're talking about, as you highlighted, are top picks. Right, they've been through the rigors of the fire in college and in college football playoff games. They've been through the pressure of that. To me, that is not nearly as big of a spot. Now, the rookie quarterbacks on the road, that's a little more scary. But we don't have any rookie quarterbacks. We have second year quarterbacks who are playing here on the road, or second or third year quarterbacks who are in the tournament. So it's not like this is a bunch of like really unseasoned players. These guys have played in the league for a couple years. They played a lot of football games. They played important football games in college. And outside of like Rodgers and Allen and Hurts, who are you pointing to as an experienced quarterback? Like you're almost always taking on another inexperienced quarterback on the other sideline.
Yeah, it would be like, I'm not going to say it means nothing to me. I guess I would say it means maybe it's a tiebreaker, but none of these, I don't have a tie. I don't have an opinion that's a tie on any of these games. And so it doesn't really come into play in any of these, but yeah, it would be something where I guess like, man, I'm really stuck on this game. I think this and kind of a little bit of a lean this way. And that's what puts me over the edge is because, but that's doesn't really affect me here this week.
But I should have mentioned Stafford there, an experienced quarterback. So obviously he's experienced as a Super Bowl. But like, what do you make of Sam Darnold? One playoff start was atrocious. Trevor Lawrence, one playoff start was atrocious. Herbert, still no playoff wins. They go, are they inexperienced? Do they fall in the same bucket as Caleb Williams? Like
Bo Nix, you know?
Bo Nix, yeah. Do they all, are the five of them equal? Because like, to me, they're not. I'm going to go ahead by my power ratings and decide which one's better versus trying to say, well, this quarterback has played and this one hasn't. Like that to me is just, you're picking nits.
Buffalo's on the road at Jacksonville. This is a pick 'em here at Circa. It is 1 at 2 of the books. It's 1.5 everywhere else. 51.5 to 52 is our total here in this one. We talked a lot about both of these teams earlier. The Buffalo offense certainly has the best quarterback in the entire playoffs. The Jacksonville team, one of the few what I consider to be kind of well-rounded teams. You can look at the defense. It's a top 10 unit. You can look at the offense. Weirdly enough, has become a top 10 unit. Do you believe in Trevor Lawrence? Do you believe that Josh Allen puts the cape on despite not having a ton of playmakers around? Another pretty interesting matchup here in this one. And again, like I said, down to a pick 'em here at Circa, Mike.
Yeah, I mean, I wish I had more aggressive convictions on some of these games. I lean toward the Jags. I think this is a more complete football team. I think that their defense has come around specifically without creating turnovers in the second half of the season, which is important to me when I'm looking at defenses because turnovers are much more difficult to replicate than down-to-down success. And we have seen down-to-down success by this Jacksonville defense. More importantly, it's the offense and specifically the wide receiving core. When you add Myers, when you add Parker Washington, and you got Strange back, all of a sudden, this is a very good offense with multiple units, multiple players that can beat you. So I lean Jacksonville here. I did bet Parker Washington over 51.5 receiving yards. Look, if they tell you like 3 weeks in a row he's the guy, at some point, you got to believe he's the guy. And he gets a lot of these 7-yard out routes that he takes 15. Like, I think he ends up with over 51.5 receiving yards against a not great Bills defense that should probably, in a Bills offense that should push the Jacksonville offense.
So this is where I think the most interesting matchup becomes, because the offense for the Bills runs through James Cook and runs through him having success and giving them second manageable, third and shorts, and things like that. Well, as we said, you go to the defenses and you start looking around. Well, Jacksonville's defense has really, really stepped it up. And so are they going to, Mike, do what they do best, which is utilize James Cook and run the ball, until they figure out they can't? Or are they going to come out with a different game plan and try and do something a little bit differently, try to catch this Jags defense off guard? Like, that's something I'm pretty interested in, and that's why I'm going to be paying a lot of attention to this one early on from a live betting perspective. And I know people, it's Wednesday, and you're like, oh, cool, talk about live betting on Wednesday. But it is, I do think that if I see pretty early James Cook can't do anything, if I'm not on the Jags pregame, it will certainly push me to the Jags endgame.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. I mean, if this is a Buffalo team that struggles to run the football, it's going to be a problem. That's going to be a long day for them. If it's a Buffalo team that has a lot of success, then obviously they're going to be able to move the football through the air as well, as they often use that ground game to set up the passing game. I think you got to keep an eye on Allen's foot too. I realize like this isn't one an injury that we're talking about a ton coming into this, but he missed last week. And yes, I realize he started the game and then left and they didn't need it and all that jazz. He had a banged up foot 2 weeks ago and 3 weeks ago, and now we're just assuming he's 100%. I don't think that's an assumption you can immediately make. So I'm going to be keeping an eye on Josh Allen's foot right out of the gate in this one as well.
San Francisco's on the road at Philadelphia. Philly is out to a 4.5-point favorite at most shops. 44.5 is the total here in this one. We said good offense on San Francisco side, pretty bad defense, and that's kind of been all season long. They just don't have the personnel, all the injuries, all the things that are going on. They just don't have the personnel to get it done on the defensive side, specifically getting any pressure on the quarterback whatsoever. So now you have an offense in Philadelphia, Mike, that Jalen Hurts should, in theory, this is still a top 5-6 offensive line. It's no longer the best offensive line, but it's still a top 5-6 offensive line in the NFL. In theory, should have time to sit in the pocket and operate and do a kind of whatever they want to from a passing game. And then maybe that opens up stuff for Saquon Barkley and whatnot. I get this line. I think it's fair. I'm not, again, another one I'm not running to bet, but it would, I don't know what the number would have to get to for me to want to back 7, probably 6 before I'd want to consider the 49ers.
Yeah, I already bet the Eagles in this game. Yeah. I like Philadelphia quite a bit in this spot. I think if you want to look at alts for Philadelphia, I don't mind that. Mm-hmm. If you want to take Philly up to like 9.5, 10.5, it's a situation where if Philadelphia can match the game plan we saw last week that Seattle had against the San Francisco offense, and San Francisco struggles to move the football, it's going to be a long day for the Niners. I think Philadelphia has success on the offensive side. I think they are likely to have success on the defensive side. I like a minus 4.5 quite a bit here. And I'm happy to play alts if you want to look at somewhere in that 9.5, 10.5 range and get plus money. Right now, 9.5 sitting at plus 157, 10.5 plus 180.
Yeah, there's one book that's at 3.5. I got to have to see if that's actually a valid number. If that's the case, not here in this market, I have to give my brother a call. But I think a 3.5 is certainly something I would play here on Philly. It just seems like most of the advantage is there. I understand that you still have McCaffrey out of the backfield, but Mike, they're smart enough to try and figure this out, right? I mean, it's a smart organization. It's one of the smartest organizations there is.
Well, and you have Vic Fangio, very, very good defensive coordinator. And when Shanahan's faced Fangio, faced him 4 times, never scored more than 15 points in any of those matchups.
We got the Chargers and the Pats and the Texans and the Steelers still to get to. Don't go anywhere. It's Beeson, the Sports Betting Network.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Primetime here on VSiN Wednesday edition. Matt Brown and Mike Somich running through each and every NFL playoff game. Of course, we'll be here on Saturday as well on the network, giving a super, super deep dive into all of these as the every single one of the props starts to hit the market and we get a little bit more news as to who's actually going to play and all of that, because there's that is still lingering for some of these games out there. When we get done, don't go anywhere. Dustin Sweetelson, already seen him today. And he's got some things to say. He certainly has a good guest lineup. Tanner Kern, Wes Reynolds, amongst others, going to join. I wonder who Wes is going to. I wonder who Wes is going to like in the college football playoffs. Mike, I don't really.
I don't know.
I have no idea.
No idea.
Don't want to. Yeah. Don't want to.
Probably backing Oregon.
Don't,
right.
Don't want to put words in his mouth or anything. But my guess is.
I wonder if Wes and Jeff have a bet.
They should.
They should. Right.
They should. They should definitely have a bet. I would say it would be something about like. Shave your head or something, but Wes already shaves his head, so I don't know what we'd do. We'll figure it out. So, but again, don't go anywhere. Dustin, be right here on the desk whenever we get done. The Chargers and the Patriots. This is 3.5 everywhere, though you can find a couple of juiced 3.5s, as if maybe this could possibly go to 4. I don't know. I doubt it, but maybe for a moment in favor of the Patriots. 46 to 46.5 is our total here in this one. We know New England was in it till the very end to get the number one seed. Patriots played really good brand of ball all year long. Really shocking as to how efficient the offense was. You can point at the schedule if you want to, but something to be said for going out and getting it done each and every week in the NFL. Drake May, one of the more impressive seasons we've seen in quite some time, certainly by a guy in only a second year in the league. And Mike, I think that they're rightful favorites in this, given what the Chargers kind of, you know, again, going across country, outdoors, probably at least cold weather, all of those different little things that could be working against a West Coast Dome team as well.
Yeah. I agree with you. The Patriots should be favored. The question is, should it be 3 or 3.5?
Yeah.
Right? I think we all agree it should be around a field goal, and that really defines it, who you want to bet in this game. I find it hard to believe people, like, I can't run to the window laying 3.5 with the Pats. To me, that's a little bit too rich here for a team that has faced a rather easy schedule, that, you know, has some question marks on the offensive side, has some question marks on the defensive side, specifically against the run, but is the Chargers the team I really want to take a stand against the Patriots with? No, it's not. This is one of those where, like, if the Pats offense clicks, this could be a blowout. That is 100% in the realm of possibility here. If it doesn't, I do lean toward the Chargers at the 3.5, but that the concern around the Pats offense being able to get plays against a defense that doesn't give them up is really the main thing. The Chargers like to play a lot of zone. They're going to try and take away Drake May's ability to run the football. They're going to try and take away big plays from this offense, which thrives on big plays. I'm not sure they're going to be able to do that. And my last thought is thinking about this Chargers team taking on Houston and Houston going over the top in two straight possessions and being able to get behind that defense. I'm worried we've seen some of those schemed up. And so I lean toward the Chargers at the 3.5, but I can't get to the window on either of these.
I think one of the things is we did our deep dives that really kind of shocked me the most, I guess, when I really dug into the Patriots, Mike, was kind of the same thing with the Bills, where how many explosive plays and stuff the Bills produced. The Patriots, and specifically Drake May, had the second most completions of 20 yards or more in the entire NFL. Mm-hmm. And you kind of look at those playmakers, or if you want to say even that, lack thereof, in New England, and I think you just wouldn't think that would be the case, but between Steph Diggs and the couple of tight ends and the other little ragtag group that they've got there, they were able to really lean into May's accuracy, and that's the other thing. He's just incredibly accurate over the course of the year, too, and they were able to create chunk plays, I think, a lot more than I thought they were going to be able to.
Well, I mean, look, Drake May was sacked 47 times on the season. That is a big number, yet he still led the NFL in EPA. That is wild because that means you need big plays to be able to make up for that. And he had one of the best deep ball percentages in the NFL. He's got one of the prettiest deep balls, and he spreads it out. I mean, like, Kayshon Boutte was just making plays down the field for him. You saw his Diggs make plays down the field for him. He was throwing the football deep to a lot of different guys. Hunter Henry has quite a few explosive plays. When you look at him at 25-plus yard passes. So you're going to get deep shots from this Patriots team. If they can click on them, it's a huge problem for the Chargers because they are built to not let that happen. If that happens, watch out, right? And that to me is the concern. I'm not convinced the Chargers can stop that. That is why I don't want to jump on the Chargers side here. I do think they have a relatively good time stopping the run from New England, which forces this more on Drake May. If that is the case, then if the question is, you know, can they get pressure consistently on May? And this is not a great offensive line from New England. That's where the Chargers case is, right? The Patriots don't run the football effectively. They've got to throw it consistently. Their offensive line gives up a couple to Mac, and you're going to see sacks here. Those kill drives, and the Chargers do enough offensively to win. Kind of feels like this is correlated where it's Chargers in the under and Patriots in the over, because if the Pats get going, I don't think the Chargers stay within 3.5.
Chargers allowed Justin Herbert to get pressured on 42.7% of his dropbacks. So nearly every other dropback, he was getting pressured. I think they have a chance in this game if they can somehow wave the magic wand and some pixie dust and all of that to keep that from happening. But, Mike, that's the statistic over the course of the entire season. I don't know how they fix that in a week. I just, you know, it's 40. Every other dropback feeling pressure, even for a dude that's Hercules like Herbert, it's just too much to overcome against a pretty competent defense. You can do it against worse defenses, but this Patriots defense has shown to be pretty competent.
They have, but they're not a top pressure rate defense, right? They're right around 20th in the league in pressure rate. So you don't have a team that is going to be consistently putting pressure on the quarterback. Now,
well,
with that offensive
it
line.
Won't matter. I was going to say, but it's different. Sliding
right.
scale,
with the offensive
right?
line, the Chargers, you know, it's a movable object versus, you know, that you can get through and get to the quarterback. So I agree. I think Herbert is under pressure, but I trust Herbert under pressure. Like, he usually makes the right decision. He gets the ball out quick. He's got guys who can catch the ball and make plays. But I don't fully trust this Chargers organization to play him at 3.5. If you gave me $100 it's Chargers for me. But it's still not one I want to put my own money on.
Monday night, Houston travels to Pittsburgh as currently 3-point favorites. But, Mike, we might get 2.5 in this, and I might break my finger getting the 2.5 in there. It's 105 at Circa. It's 102 at DraftKings. So we might get 2.5.
I can't believe this line.
And if we get under a field goal on this Texans team, again, I'm going to break my finger putting in Texans bets. Everybody loves the Steelers this way. I do not understand it. I don't get it. What is the redeeming quality for this Pittsburgh team other than the fact that they're playing at home? I mean, if you want to tell me it's the home field advantage or something like that, and I believe probably Pittsburgh is one of the few places I'll still give 1.5 to, maybe. But if you look at my power ratings, this is still a play on them at 3, and at 2.5, it's a smash.
Yeah, I already bet the Texans -3 on open. They opened 2.5, immediately got bet to 3, immediately got bet out to 3.5 in most places. I thought this was going to go to 4, 4.5. I don't understand the Steelers' love. I don't get any of it. This is not a good offense. It's actually not a very good defense. I don't understand why people love the Steelers in this spot. Give me the Texans all day, every day here. The redeeming quality of the Steelers is we get to make money off them in the wild card round this year in the NFL playoffs. I think the Texans win by margin here. I like the Steelers team total under 18.5 as well.
So here's the difference too from an offensive standpoint for Pittsburgh and then being able to have any sort of success. Okay, you get DK Metcalf back. He is going to get shadowed by Stingley. So Stingley takes him out of the game. We saw what this offense looks like when they're trying to use everybody else. They spam Gainwell out of the backfield with targets. Well, you're getting one of the better and faster defensive lines and linebacker cores as well with Houston in this as well. It's like, it's just not the same. Like, I'm not taking anything away from what they've done with Gainwell. I think it's actually fairly smart. Aaron Rodgers doesn't really have what he used to have anymore in pumping the ball down the field. Every now and then he makes one of those throws, but they're few and far between. So sure, spam your running back out of the backfield, fine. But it's a different animal in Houston coming to town as far as like guarding him and taking that away from the equation.
Yeah, like it's also not an offensive line that can protect Aaron Rodgers against the best pass rush in the NFL. Like what's going to happen when he gets just hammered play after play after play? I saw this past week.
He can't run away from defensive linemen anymore, and he's going to have two of the best in the league chasing him down.
Coming from the edge and a good interior rush. Like this is a four-man, four-headed monster that's going to be rushing him. And oh, by the way, they're one of the better teams covering tight ends too. Like I don't understand why the Steelers are taking him up.
We will be back here on Saturday, deep dive into every single one of the remaining games, and Dustin's going to be in here breaking down everything for you as well. For Mike, I'm Matt. Good luck on all your bets.